G'day, and welcome to the Farms Advice podcast, where we discuss everything agribusiness and a new topic each week. On today's show, we've got Sarah Hain, and we'll be talking about Australia's favourite summer fruit, well, mine anyway, the Aussie mango. Sarah works for the Australian Mango Association and has had some excellent experience before landing her role, from volunteering as an agronomy advisor in the tropics of Laos in Asia for a year. She really got acclimatised with that tropical weather over there. It was a great episode to see how associations work closer with farmers and get the product on consumers' tables. I'll waste no more time, so let's get into it. G'day, Sarah. Excellent to have you on the podcast today.
How's everything going up in Darwin?
Yeah, good. We're just kicking off the wet season and hopefully it's going to be a good one this year with the La Nina that the Bureau has announced.
Does that impact Darwin too much with the wet season? Just makes it a bit longer.
You mean in terms of mangoes or in terms of Darwin in general?
Just Darwin in general.
The last probably two or three wet seasons have been particularly poor. So I know there's definitely an increased chance of cyclones this season, but I think most people are, even farmers, are looking forward to it because, the landscape really needs the flush out with the extra water this season. So I think it'll be good for everyone.
Yeah, absolutely. And coming into summer, great timing.
Yeah, exactly.
So before we jump into it, could you just tell us a bit more about your story? We both went to UNE and just what you did after university.
Yeah, sure. So I was actually born in northern New South Wales, but pretty quickly my parents, along with some of our other family, purchased a property in Western Queensland, northeast of Longreach. So spent most of my life out there. We have a pastoral grazing operation with merino sheep and droughtmaster cattle. So my parents are still out there, and this is actually our 12th year of drought. So it's been a long 12 years, and it's really emphasized the sacrifices that my parents have made and a lot of country parents make for their kids, sending them away to boarding school and letting them pursue other careers. As you said, I was at UNE. I did a Bachelor of Rural Science, and since then I've been in and out of different agricultural industries, working in the cotton industry. I had 12 months through the Australian Volunteers International Program in a very small country called Laos in Southeast Asia, doing some research around tropical forages. And now I'm based up in the Northern Territory with the Australian Mango Industry Association as the Industry Development Officer.
How did you get your foot in the door for the mango industry?
Well, funnily enough, I literally just found this job on Seek. I was still in Laos, just about to come home from my volunteer position, and I was just looking on Seek for some jobs, and this one came up, and then eventually I came home from Laos and spent about 3 weeks back on the farm with my parents. Had a couple of interviews, this job and a few others. Anyway, they offered me the job and said, "Can you be in Darwin next weekend?" And I said, wow. Yes. So 7 days later, I was in Darwin.
It's a quick way to get straight into the job. Did Darwin, like the weather, hit you pretty hard or not coming from Laos?
I think Laos really prepared me, and I was really lucky because I started just before the start of the mango season. So that's about August, and that's the territory's dry season. So beautiful, cool nights and low humidity. So it actually worked out really well. Definitely the first wet season was a bit sweaty, but you get to know fast that it doesn't really matter when everyone else is sweating just as much as you are.
Yeah, absolutely. For your working up in the mango industry. What's your role that you play?
So essentially, so my role is actually two really new roles in the industry. We're the peak national body for the mango industry across Australia. Our head office is based in Brisbane, and traditionally the mango industry has centred around Queensland. But in the last couple of years, we've really seen an increase in production, particularly coming out of the Northern Territory. So my role is one of two regionally based roles. So I'm based in Darwin for 12 months of the year, and I service the Northern Territory and also a small number of growers in Western Australia. And my colleague is based in Cairns, and she services all of the Queensland growers. Essentially, we're a combination of communications and extension officers. So some of the key roles that we play are collecting and publishing our industry forecast that we publish during the season to show production figures that are being dispatched to market. We also do some on-farm fruit testing using some near-infrared technology to test the dry matter content of fruit. And we also have an industry biosecurity surveillance program looking for exotic pests and diseases. Outside of that, we have a lot of other general industry development activities, such as hosting pre-season meetings, doing a lot of export registration for protocol markets like those in mainland Asia. Yeah, so it's a pretty diverse role.
Yeah, it sounds like you've got to really spread out yourself. But a good way to learn about the industry more and talk to the farmers who are actually producing the mangoes.
Yeah, exactly. And this is my first time in horticulture through this role. So it's been a very steep learning curve coming from the traditional industries of livestock and broadacre.
Definitely. For the farmers, how closely do you work to bolster new technology, new techniques of working for mangoes to become more efficient and productive?
Yeah, so I guess through Horticulture Innovation Australia, which supports a lot of the horticultural industries in Australia, the overall goal of the strategic investment plan for the mango industry is to increase profitability for growers and increase the ability of the domestic and international markets to consume the growing production. So we work really closely. I would be talking to a lot of my growers very regularly and during the season, probably once a week or more. We're always out there talking to growers about new chemical registrations, best practices, directing them to appropriate sources of information. I guess we're like a connection point because growers don't have time to go searching around for information if they're not sure where it is. So we deal with a lot of growers coming to us, asking questions. We'll go and find out and come back to them and provide them with the answers so they don't have to waste their time.
Yeah, just allowing the expertise to come through and letting them concentrate on their own work.
Yeah, exactly.
You said earlier that Darwin was wrapping up for their harvesting of the mangoes. What are the production figures looking for 2020?
Yeah, so I mean, for the early season varieties, so we've got a couple of major ripe varieties in Australia. So most people would be familiar with what people call the Bowen mango, but the actual varietal name is the Kensington Pride mango. We also have the R2E2s, the Calypsos and the Honeygolds. So generally the Kensington Prides and the R2E2s will come first. So they're sort of wrapping up in Darwin now, but we are still left with those later season varieties like the Calypso and Honeygold mangoes. And then essentially we follow the region sort of further south, further into the season. So it generally starts off in Darwin, then we head down to Catherine, who's just started picking. Then we head over to Queensland, which sort of starts in the Burdekin, moves up to the Tablelands in Queensland, and then moves down to southeast Queensland. And all the while, we have some really small production areas going in Western Australia as well.
How much manga do we produce, do you know?
Yeah. So one of the key parts of my role, as I previously mentioned, is putting together the industry forecast. So we collect production data direct from growers and publish that for retailers, logistical partners, packaging partners. So pretty much anyone who wants to go and look at it can look it up on our website every season. We'll never account for 100%. We're currently up to about 85% of the levy data that we receive at the end of the season. But we just had our biggest season ever last season, which we produced just over 75,000 tonnes of mangoes from Australia. So that's a lot of mango.
That's huge. Is that domestically and going overseas?
Yeah, so currently we're really encouraging growers to start developing some export strategies, but currently only about 12% of our production goes to export markets.
We eat a lot of mango then in Australia.
Yes, we do. So I think we're up to about 2.5 kilograms consumption per capita each year of mangoes.
Per person, that's huge. Which is your favourite?
I actually like some of the varieties that are not particularly commercially available. There is a Florida type variety called Tommy Atkins, which is mostly only found in Western Australia or produced in small amounts. We also have some varieties that are in the commercialisation stages, which are not readily available at the moment, and they haven't been named yet. So it's actually called 1, 2, 4, 3 at the moment.
That's a bit unfair. You get first dibs on the mangoes.
Yeah. Yes. And I think I'm about up to my 20th mango for the season so far. So I definitely get my fill of mangoes every season.
Sounds excellent. I wouldn't mind a mango or two throughout the week. Looking at value adding, on our previous podcast, speaking with beef and lamb producers, is the mango industry looking at value adding? I see, like, there's a lot of dried mango on the shelves. Is that a thing that you're looking at improving or researching?
Yeah, we're definitely, as an industry, definitely encouraging people to develop the value adding thing, because what we see during the season is that once we start accumulating class two and sort of bulk fruit that's coming onto the market, obviously it's not selling as quickly as the really premium fruit. And sometimes that can impact the prices received by growers in the market. So we are really encouraging growers to look at value adding or processing that fruit so it doesn't need to get into the central markets. There is an increasing number of companies that are looking at dried, frozen, pureed products. And I know some growers, generally smaller growers, actually do their own value adding and just sell it locally as well.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to start selling it locally and then start spreading it out. See what the uptake is.
Yeah, definitely. And
sorry, go.
I was just going to say a lot of that dried produce that we see is actually not Australian produce. It's generally from anywhere from Thailand, Indonesia, or the Philippines.
Oh, really? So it would be good to get a few farmers on board.
Yeah, definitely.
Keep that Aussie made going.
Yeah, definitely.
For the industry, you're like dealing with the eating experiences for consumers. How are you keeping innovative for consumers across Australia and for the 12% of exporting? Is that a big thing?
Yes. Yeah. Oh, my God. That's probably one of our main focuses. Yeah, definitely. Because our market research has indicated that firstly, the biggest a generation of sales comes from impulse buying. So not a lot of people will set out to the supermarket with mangoes on their shopping list. But if they get there and there is a massive, beautiful display of great looking fruit out the front of the store, then people are 82%. I mean, their drive will be about 82% driven by impulse buying of mangoes right there on the spot. The second driver of mango buying, particularly for domestic customers, is the quality. So how does the mango look? How does it smell? And how does it eat? We have some good research that has indicated if people have a bad eating experience, they may not come back to buy another mango for 6 to 8 weeks, which is the entire length of one growing region in Australia, which is a massive amount of time in a seasonal product. So one of the really key things that we're doing is we've implemented some industry standards around testing the dry matter through near-infrared technology. They're portable machines. They're a bit expensive for smaller growers. So us as industry development officers offer a free on-farm testing service. Dry matter essentially indicates the level of physiological maturity of the fruit. And this is correlated with the end eating experience when the mango is ripened. So we have some minimum standards around that per variety. So that's been one of the key tools in the toolbox with improving the consumer's eating experience.
Yeah, it's amazing, like, the impact if a consumer is turned off. I suppose, like, looking at the mango industry, we've had a mango man come down to Dubbo. Pretty sure he comes from Queensland somewhere. But he comes down with a couple of ton and sells them and comes back again. But it is that impulse. I don't think I've ever written down to buy a mango in Woolworths or Coles, but to actually get it onto the shopping list, that's a bit of a big task for yourself.
Yeah, and you have to be, we have different levels of commitment from consumers, and you definitely have to be what we call one of our wedded buyers, who buys 7, 10 or more times during the mango season. So yeah, if you're not one of those very committed consumers, then no, it definitely won't be on a shopping list.
Yeah, definitely. For, like, working with the bigger retailers for getting into the food, have you worked much with them at all? Like the big supermarkets?
Yeah, so I mean, obviously I'm more focused at the production end of things, but in our industry body, we have a marketing manager who's constantly talking to our key retailers. So major mango retailers in Australia include obviously the big supermarkets, so Coles, Woolworths, Aldi and Metcash, which are a lot of the IGAs, but also one of our best sellers is actually Harris Farm Markets, who is based in Sydney, Newcastle, and now is opening some stores in Brisbane. But they're really constantly looking at that industry forecast that we publish each week that I mentioned previously, so they can plan their promotions and their in-store activities around the volumes of mango that are planned to be coming.
Yeah. Well, Sexton, I think, like, you really need to, as an industry, to push your product, the mango in this case, forward, just to get it onto consumers in their fridges, in the cupboards.
Yeah, and I mean, that's what we're really offering to retailers. We're offering that double-pronged value proposition. We're offering that quality guarantee through the dry matter testing, and people like Woolworths have really embraced that. They have their own testing machine and regularly do testing in their DCs. And then secondly, that forecasting, so they're planning promotions and allowing themselves to be prepared when there's peak volumes of fruit coming through to move that fruit through lower prices or through promotions as quickly as possible.
Looking on, like, the testing for quality, is there something that you do with the, like, wasted mangoes?
What do you mean by wasted mangoes?
Like, if they're not up to scratch or they're damaged by weather.
So, yeah, okay. So So firstly, if growers have the correct accreditations, then most of the premium fruit will go into the major retailers, like I previously mentioned, and then obviously into some higher end greengrocers and fruit shops. Then, so growers will generally pack, and everyone packs a bit differently, but growers will generally pack a first class and sometimes a really premium class in the first class, and then they'll pack a second class, which may go more to the sort of food service industry, or it may go to other stores which are offering sort of the imperfect picks kind of fruit. And then there'll be the bulk class, which will also potentially go to either the food service industry or go to processing. And then obviously you have your big processing companies such as Tropico, which will take juice contracts and things like that for your leftover fruit as well during the season.
Excellent. Well, it sounds like it's all happening within the mango industry. What's the next big project coming up across your table?
So I guess we're in the middle of mango season. So just keeping track of what's happening with the crop, keeping that forecast updated. So we're talking to the rest of the industry about what's happening, getting out there and testing that fruit before it's getting down to market, and making sure growers have all the information that they need to get the best fruit to market as they need. And then in the off season, we're still busy. We're always running post-season events for growers. We have a really great irrigation masterclass coming up for a few different production regions. So that's really exciting. And we're also developing our new website, which is going to have a best practice resource, bringing together all the existing information and research that's been done to date in the mango industry.
Yeah, so farmers can relate back to that as a bit of a hub for their own business.
Yes, yeah, that's the plan.
Well, it sounds excellent that you really hit the ground running getting into the mango industry. And, like, do you think you'd be so up to date with everything if you didn't go to Laos with the tropical forages, or?
I don't know. Laos, I've had a few different experiences before Laos in Southeast Asia. But I think Laos just enables you to see things from a totally different perspective. And also on a personal side of things, really gives you an appreciation for firstly what we have in Australia, but secondly where agriculture is from a global perspective. And there's a lot of work to do in some of those regions in Southeast Asia, but it's great working in things like international development, because you know the smallest changes can make the biggest impact over there. Whereas in Australia, you know, we're really just fine tuning our production practices, so we don't get as much of an incremental return. But over there, the smallest things can, yeah, just make the biggest impact on people's livelihoods and businesses.
Yeah, definitely. I think you wrapped that up excellently. The smallest changes can make the biggest impact. We might start to wrap it up there. Thank you very much, Sarah. For the podcast, who would you like to hear on here and why? It might be good to get like a mango farmer just to see their experience, how they're doing things.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a busy time for mango growers, but I think maybe in the off season it'd be great to maybe get one of our territory mango farmers on. There's a couple of really good growers that I can think of. One guy, Andrew Dalgleish, he's an organic mango farmer down in Katherine. He also grows organic asparagus. He's a really interesting guy. But outside of the growers, also maybe something a little bit different, I would recommend maybe Lydia Burton. She's a reporter with ABC Rural. I think she's based in Toowoomba now, but she used to be up here in Darwin, being a reporter for the Country Hour, and she's got some interesting stories to tell.
Yeah, there's some superb suggestions. Have to get in touch for sure. How can we contact you as an industry, or even reach out to yourself?
Yeah, so professionally, all of my work contact details and also my colleagues, you can find on the Australian Mangoes industry website. So we actually have two websites. We have an industry one for growers and industry people, and we have a consumer one. But on the industry one, you'll find my contact details, but you can also find me just at Sarah Hain on LinkedIn, or also Hain_SJ on Twitter.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much for coming on the podcast. Good to get insight into Australian mangoes and to look into horticulture a bit more. I'm keen to do a bit more of horticulture. You seem quite beef and sheep dominant currently, but it'd be good to get you guys on board.
Yeah, no worries. No, I just listened to your podcast the other day from Tanya at Nutrano, which was really interesting. So thanks for having me.
She was really cool to speak to. And also good to see like different aspects of horticulture and you bringing the mango in.
Yeah. Well, Nutrano actually has a mango farm up in Catherine here. So we have a bit to do with their staff that associated with that farm as well.
Oh, right. You'll have to let us know when your favourite mango drops.
Yeah, definitely. Well, there's definitely plenty of mangoes going to market at this stage and will be for the rest of the summer.
Sounds good. Thank you, Sarah.
No worries. Thanks very much.
Thanks for listening to the 22nd episode of Farms Advice Everything Agribusiness podcast. Hope you're able to take something away with you from this episode to improve your own enterprise or at least start the conversation anyway. It's looking like a solid harvest for Aussie mangoes, so put a couple on your shopping list today. To find out the show notes, visit farmsadvice.com.au and follow us on social media at Farms Advice for further motivation. If you have any questions, we'd love to answer them on the podcast, so send them through. Please help me reach the 135,000 farms across Australia by sharing this podcast. Only if you liked it, of course. Onwards and upwards for agribusinesses in Australia. Tune in next week. Cheers.